You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I've been Samperio, Chavez, Reen, Fiends. This is my last solo episode of the week. Tomorrow, Jeff and I will be back together. But today, we're going to talk a little bit about the left-handed options in the Dodgers bullpen, about Joe Kelly, and maybe getting into a couple other things. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Remember, this week we are giving clues about the top five names on a particular Dodgers leaderboard, starting with number five on Monday and finishing with number one on Friday. Once you have all five names, simply figure out what the leaderboard is, email us all five names and what the leaderboard is, and you'll be entered to win. We've already given you three. Today I'm going to give you clue number four, but you don't know when it's going to be in this episode, so you're going to have to listen all the way through if you're trying to win the Walker Buehler bobblehead. And possibly another gift on my end. So make sure to listen, and that clue will come at some point this episode. All right, kicking it off with yesterday's game, the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 3-2. Corey Seager hit a two-run home run. Clayton Kershaw threw three innings, gave up a leadoff home run to Peralta, and that's it. Then we saw a few guys that should be in the bullpen for sure, or will be in the bullpen for sure, Jansen, Trinan, and Gonzalez. Trinan gave up a run, but everybody else was scoreless. We saw a guy who's trying to work his way on there, and maybe will coincide a little bit with Joe Kelly when I talk about him later, Dennis Santana. And then we saw Garrett Clevenger, who I'll talk about a little bit later, who was a little bit fairly impressive. But I guess on the news and notes front, not too much on the Dodgers end. Cody Bellinger will be playing in games hopefully next week. He's been playing center field in some sim games and should be ready to go next week. Bruzdar Gratterall finally threw a bullpen, was hitting 96. Not sure if that's a... because he wasn't throwing all the way, if he's just not there yet or whatever it is. They said he maybe could get into games next week. But at the way it's going, he might be one that's going to start the season on the injured list. But we'll see what happens there. Dave Roberts has yet to announce the opening day starter. He said that they're... is three guys that we probably consider, but we're just not ready to name the guy yet. You would imagine those three are Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer, and Walker Buehler. You know, last year or maybe 2 years ago, we talked about this, who should be opening day starter, and I thought the torch should have been passed on to Walker Buehler and let him start being the opening day guy. But I've kind of gone back on that. I think Clayton Kershaw should continue to be the opening day starter for as long as he's with the Dodgers and as long as he's effective. And obviously this may be the last year for Kershaw in Dodger blue. So just another reason to give him the opening day start. Doesn't quite feel the same with the Dodgers starting on the road. I understand that. And I understand the sentiments of wanting to get Kershaw the start in the home opener, especially out there's going to be fans and that there should be a celebration. But as Jeff mentioned before, someone asked us a question, I think, cutting Kershaw out of the celebration on opening day or the home opener wouldn't be as fun. You know, maybe that's one they try to manipulate it to where Trevor Bauer starts. He doesn't necessarily get to celebrate because he wasn't there last year and didn't get the ring. But we'll see how the Dodgers go. But yeah, I still think Clayton Kershaw should get the start for the Dodgers. He was supposed to get it last year, ended up getting hurt. Dustin May got the start. But I think there's no reason to not have Kershaw start the opening day. Other things of note, Gavin Lux. He didn't have a hit last night, but he's six hits so far in spring, looked really good so far. He talked a little bit about kind of last season and what happened. And he had some good stuff to say, kind of nothing, you know, not anything that's going to fill any quote books or quote card or anything like that. But he said, it's in the past. I'm not thinking about it. It was a learning experience. It's probably a good thing my career struggles were early on, so I can learn how to deal with it, learn how to deal with failure. I think it was a good thing, honestly. He said that the mental reset helped a lot, kind of staying in LA, working out, preparing for the season, seeing family and friends, maybe getting a little bit of normalcy after what was not a normal year last year. And then he just ended up saying that he's trying to go out and play and help the team win any way possible, whatever the role ends up being. One small concern, he has had a couple throws from second base not being the best throws. And when you see that, and with the history kind of what he's gone through in the past with the yips and things of that nature, it makes you a little shaky. But I think for the most part, he looks confident when he throws. Even Joe Davis noted in the game yesterday when he made a throw that was a little bit offline. Right away when he threw it, he said, looks confidently throws to first, and then the throw was not a great throw. But the fact that he's, you know, not thinking about it and just throwing, it's a mental process, and it's a lot of steps going on in his head. And, you know, if you've never dealt with the yips or something of that nature, which I haven't, but from things I've read from other people that deal with it, you know, it just starts eating at you and starts getting in your head. And, you know, it's a little bit of an anxiety thing. And I think he's going to be fine. I think he's a smart guy. He's a smart kid. He's working through it. And, you know, he's going to get a lot of opportunities to kind of work through it throughout this season. We've talked about before how we think, Jeff and I believe that, you know, he's going to have a long leash over there at second base. And especially if Chris Taylor is moving around and playing everywhere else and hitting pretty well. And I don't think Zach McKinstry has enough to quite take that top billing at second base anytime soon. I think as long as the Dodgers are winning, Gavin Lux will have a pretty long leash over there. And considering the fact that the Dodgers' other seven position players are all above average, the Dodgers can get away with maybe having a guy that's working through some struggles. So it's good to see Gavin Lux, you know, say those things, kind of acknowledge the fact that last year was tough, acknowledge the fact that maybe he needed it, and, you know, ready to move on and ready to help the team however it is. You know, that's one of the other special things about the Dodgers is how you always hear these guys, you know, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to win or whatever the team needs. Just in the last 3 days, we've heard David Price say it, we've heard Jimmy Nelson say it, and Gavin Lux say it, and it's just a testament to how the Dodgers are built. You know, obviously winning cures everything, so if it was a bad team and some of these guys aren't getting play time, it's probably not going to be the same thing. But if you're winning and on a winning team and seeing how the Dodgers won a World Series last year and have been in the playoffs the last 8 years, it's just a testament to that. And, you know, how Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman kind of run the club and how they're so transparent with everyone and let them know how things are. So yeah, good luck. I mean, we're looking forward to Gavin Lux having a great season. Jeff's been calling it for a while now. I've been skeptical, not just because of last year, but since the beginning. But I'm always ready to be proven wrong, because if he's doing well, that means the Dodgers are going to be benefit from it. So I'm very down to see Gavin Lux have a very good breakout season. Going to come back and talk a little bit about left-handed options in the bullpen, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Now, one reason to save money on car parts is that you can use that money you save for other important things like food or Dodger gear or Dodger tickets, since who knows how expensive they're going to be this year. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership when you can go to rockauto.com and find all these things for way cheaper without having to deal with going to a store, without having to worry about getting different pricing if you're not a mechanic, or if you are a mechanic, it doesn't matter. But if you're not a mechanic and you might get different pricing if you go to a chain store, you don't have to worry about that. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and those prices are always low. Their website's really great. They've been serving customers online for 20 years. You go to RockAuto.com and shop for everything you need from hundreds of manufacturers, from everything to brakes and oil to down to the carpet for your car. So you go to rockauto.com. If they ask, how did you hear about us? Let them know Locked On sent you. That's all you got to do. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team, favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. So we've talked about this before. The Dodgers have only one solid left-handed reliever currently slated to make the opening day roster. That's Victor Gonzalez. David Price, depending on what his role is, could maybe be a second left-handed reliever, but it seems that he's kind of pushing toward a starting rotation role, as well as Julio Urias doing the same. So if we're going to count them out for the sake of discussion, there's basically three guys kind of fighting for that second left-handed spot in the bullpen, if that's something they decide to go with. And it's Garrett Clevenger, Alex Vesia, and Scott Alexander. Just straight off the bat, all three are on the 40-man roster. All three still have options available. Scott Alexander is on his last option. Vesia, I think, has three. And then Clevenger has two. So all three are probably going to see time in the majors at some point this year, just based on the fact of that they have options. And Andrew Friedman loves to use players with options and move them up and down when they need an extra arm, or if they need a little bit, you know, of a tired arm sent down and bring a fresh arm up. So going off that, we're going to see all three at some point. I think, you know, obviously this is going a little bit recency bias, but Clevenger last night had one inning, struck out three, looked pretty good. I had the high fastball working, and has always kind of seemed like a best option, not based on the fact of major league experience or major league success, just more on the fact of, obviously, if the Dodgers are going after a guy, they have interest in him and they see something that they can work with or that they want to try out. And so when the Dodgers go out and get a small guy like this, you got to imagine that it's someone that they want to use. Now, in an ideal world, Scott Alexander would have been this guy for the last few years, but obviously, we've seen how that happened, and it hasn't really been that way. He's had success, he's had struggles, and he's never really become a guy that has been able to control everything the way he wants to do on the mound. He's a little bit Brandon League-ish for me, where he allows a runner and ends up getting his way out of it with a double play because of his heavy sinker. But that's not someone, you know, I don't want a reliever coming in with the whip of like 1.5 just because they've gotten lucky a few times and have a low ERA. So Scott Alexander, you know, I don't really have the trust in him, and I would, you know, rather see some of these other guys honestly first before we see him again. We kind of already know what we get with him. Nothing this spring has kind of shown that he's changed at all. He's had a couple good outings, and he's had an outing where I believe he got a double play ball, like I mentioned. So Alex Vesia is one where I haven't been too impressed so far. He has been able to, you know, have a little bit of success and show what he's got, but yeah, for me, I think Clevenger's just the guy based on what I've seen and his stuff, that the one I kind of want to see and get the first chance at cracking this roster and showing what we can do early in the season. But like I said, we're probably going to see all three. But as of right now, Clevenger and Alexander are probably one and two, and then Vesia is a three. The thing with Vesia and Clevenger is that they're kind of similar in the fact that they work off a fastball and they work off the high fastball, which is something the Dodgers really like, which is something their benefit, and as we've seen, something where probably the Dodgers went after them. Whereas Scott Alexander, you know, going with this dead end ball thing, pitchers that get a lot of ground balls aren't as you know, they're still important, but maybe lose a little bit of importance just because fly balls may not hurt you as much as they did before. And if guys can work up in the zone and be able to locate where they want, you can get away with a little bit more fly balls now than rather than just straight ground balls all the time. So I think that's going to hurt Scott Alexander a little bit, but he's hurt himself more often than not just based on the fact that sometimes you can't locate his pitches or sometimes he's just not effective. So I think Clevenger's going to keep getting chances here and there in the next. Well, they're all going to get chances over the next 3 weeks in spring training, but I think Clevenger is kind of a guy I'm really going to start looking out for a little more and really start following this three horse race a little bit more and really, you know, getting into it and seeing what these guys do. But it's You know, nothing that the Dodgers need. They don't necessarily need a left-handed reliever based on everything they have. Based on Joe Kelly possibly not being on the opening day roster, based on Brusdar Graterol kind of not being on the opening day roster, you know, that maybe opens up a spot to make sure they have all seven of those starting pitchers. Maybe a Jimmy Nelson makes the roster and finds his way on there. And the Dodgers, I think they can still put Canely on the 60-day DL. So they still have a 40-man roster spot technically open. Dennis Santana is another guy who's been working his way in and could fill a role of a guy that can give you a couple innings. And with the rule change, you know, left-handed specialists aren't necessarily needed. I don't think any of those three are really considered left-handed specialists to a high extreme, or at least not in the majors that we've seen so far. Not really Adam Kolarik type deal, but they're, you know, obviously they're going to have more success against left-handed hitters. On the new three batter rule, you don't really need guys that are exclusive to come in and pitch to one lefty. You kind of need them to be successful against both sides, and with more right-handers on the roster, there's obviously more variance there to have those type of guys and who are maybe more likely to get both sides of the plate out. So I don't know if we're going to see any of these three on the opening day roster, but as of right now, I'm going to really put some stock into Garrett Clevenger and see what he's got, just based on the fact that they have options. If Scott Alexander didn't have options, one, I'm not sure the Dodgers bring him back. They maybe non-tender him. And two, maybe they want to give him one final look before they say, hey, you know what? You may be a guy that gets DFA this year if we need to clear a roster spot and you're just not doing what we need to do. So that's the one way I can see Scott Alexander making this. Or if he just really shows something these next 3 weeks and the other two guys fall off a lot. So yeah, that's kind of where the left-handed role is going to come from, one of those three guys. And I'm excited to see what happens and see what we can get out of those three. So I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about Joe Kelly. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.ag is the place you need to go to. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports actions. Let's take a look at another Dodgers bet today. Over under for the amount of wins they get this season. Right now, the over under is set at 103.5 wins. Both odds are the same, the over and the under, which are minus 115, which means you would have to put down $115 in order to win $100 on whatever you bet. So 103.5 wins is obviously a lot, and the Dodgers are, you know, built to win that many games, but with that much variance, you never know. But if you want to bet it, you can go to betonline.ag, and that's where you can figure out what you want to bet. They have you covered for all news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bet. And the best part, it's free to sign up. Just go to betonline.ag, sign up, and on your first deposit, you can get a 50% welcome bonus if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is matchup one, caramel brownie versus cherry barcia. Matchup two, lemon almond cheesecake versus carrot cake with walnuts. Matchup one, I'm definitely taking caramel brownie. While cherry barcia is a great flavor, caramel brownie is hard to beat. In matchup two, I'm definitely going with carrot cake with walnuts. I'm one of those guys that likes carrot cake, so hey, sue me, but I'm going with carrot cake on that matchup. Remember to go to builtbar.com or go to bar_built on Twitter, and you can vote on what you think is the best flavor. And now you can go to And remember, you can also go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. If you're a baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, and if you're a Dodger fan, you're probably one of those, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, here is today's clue for number two on this Dodgers leaderboard. This player was a Rookie of the Year, MVP, and six-time All-Star in his 10-year career, all spent with the Brooklyn Dodgers. But the thing he is most famous for is also probably a big part of the reason he is so high on this leaderboard. He has the fewest plate appearances of any position player elected to the Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility. All right, let's wrap up today's podcast with some Joe Kelly talk. I believe I saw an article on Dodgers Way talking about if Joe Kelly was a bust signing or that he was a bust signing, I think was the declaration. I know I've seen this talk a little bit on the timeline before. I believe Frank Lopez from Let's Be Frank podcast talked about this a little bit. And I'm not so much here to determine whether he was a bust or not. I think the way you determine that is really not applicable to the Dodgers, because I don't think having Joe Kelly prevented them from getting anyone else, whether monetarily or roster wise. They've always had, you know, Joe Kelly's never been the worst reliever on the roster, so they've always had a chance to upgrade if they really wanted to. The Dodgers were, you know, not really close to the luxury tax, or they were under the luxury tax the last two seasons. So realistically, if they really wanted to get someone, they could have done so. So in terms of him being a bust, I'm not entirely sure. You know, yes, he probably wasn't what they expected when they got him. But at the end of the day, it hasn't really hurt them. And he still has a chance for one more year to go and prove that it wasn't a complete bust. Obviously, it's not off to the greatest start this spring with him having an undisclosed injury, where I feel like he's had an undisclosed injury every year so far. And I'm not sure what it, obviously, we're not sure exactly what it is. I remember one of the years, I think he just said his whole body was off or whatever it is. But the fact of the matter is that while Joe Kelly was brought in to be a high leverage guy, he's basically been taken out of that role and is only in high leverage when they absolutely need it, or in certain occasions when Dave Roberts has called his name. He went from high leverage, struggled really early off in his first year with the Dodgers, and then had that long string throughout the end of this, from about, I think, June or July to the end of the season, was really, really good, became a trusted reliever again. Obviously, that season didn't quite end too well with him giving up the grand slam to Howie Kendrick in game five, going a second inning, which was more on Dave Roberts than on Joe Kelly at that point, seeing as he had not been able to be good in two inning stints the whole entire season. Last year, he was a guy that just came in when they needed him, wasn't much of a leverage guy. He did get the final outs and bailed Kenley Jansen out against the Padres, but it was definitely not confident and confidence building, and was extremely nerve-wracking to have him up there, because last year he became a guy that could really only throw one pitch, and that was his off-speed pitch. Couldn't locate the fastball. Fastball velocity was still there. He was still in the 99th percentile on that, but he definitely was not able to locate it and put it where he wanted. The curve spin, which is also in the 99th percentile on the curve, was his main pitch last year in order to throw strikes. And while his curve is very, very good and very tight and very fast, it's not generally not successful if you can only throw one pitch for strikes, and not as successful if that one pitch is a curveball. In terms of other percentile rankings, he wasn't really that great in anything else. The only other thing he touched 90 on was expected slugging against him, which is not the best thing. But for Joe Kelly for this year, you know, obviously the Dodgers have a lot of guys who can fill high leverage innings. Kenley Jansen's expected to be the closer. Blake Treinen, Corey Kniebel should be expected to get some big innings. Bruiser Gratterall, once he's ready to go, should get some big innings. Victor Gonzalez as well. I think Joe Kelly can kind of settle into kind of the role he had last year of being a guy that's either a bridge to the late inning guys, or when those late inning guys have already pitched a couple days in a row or need a day off, then Joe Kelly can be put into these high leverage situations if need be, kind of like a Pedro Baez type. Pedro Baez fluctuated from the sixth to eighth innings throughout his Dodger career. I think that's where Joe Kelly's probably going to live, more of the sixth inning. And then if he continues to be good, maybe he'll, you know, get into the seventh. And if they need him, absolutely eighth and ninth. But you know, I think what the Dodgers really need out of him is just being healthy and being there and being a guy that can locate pitches when he needs to. If he can find that fastball location and command and combine it with the curveball that he had in 2020, then the Dodgers have a pretty good reliever there, and they're sitting in a spot where Joe Kelly is probably one of their lowest relievers or worst relievers, and Joe Kelly being able to locate a fastball and throw the curve that he was throwing last year is still a pretty good receiver to me. Now, just like I've talked about with Kenley Jansen, and just like I've talked about with Kenley Jansen, this is the last year of his deal, so I don't think the Dodgers will be as committed to letting him pitch as much as they, if he's not effective. Kenley Jansen, you know, won't last as the closer the entire season if he struggles. And I don't think Joe Kelly will last on the roster the entire season if he struggles. And I don't think it'd be a situation of DFA or trade. I think the Dodgers respect him enough and Andrew Friedman would talk to him, be like, hey, what do you want to do? It could be one of those where it's a phantom undisclosed injury for the rest of the year, and he gets to, you know, kind of hang out and stay with the team, but not necessarily throwing any innings for the Dodgers. So obviously that's a worst case scenario. If that happens, best case scenario is, like I mentioned, he becomes a guy that can command that fastball. I mean, you just go back to last year. I really want to point out, you know, how much he did not trust his fastball. He threw 24 fastballs last season. He threw 39 sinkers, and he threw 108 curveballs. And of those four-seam fastballs, the 24 pitches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, almost half were out of the strike zone, which is... can be effective if the people believe that the other 50% of the time you know exactly where you put in the fastball. And with Joe Kelly, which is kind of a reason for some of his success in the past, is he's effectively wild, as they say, where you're not entirely sure where the ball's gonna go, and you're maybe, you know, hoping that he's gonna be erratic, then he sneaks in a fastball right down the middle against you, or whatever else it is. It was kind of his excuse or his reasoning for the issue with Carlos Correa, you know, that sometimes he doesn't know where the ball is going. And that's honestly, I honestly do believe sometimes that Joe Kelly has no idea where the pitch is going when he's throwing it. But the fact of the matter is the Dodgers don't need him to step up. But if he does step up, that's a big boost to the bullpen and a big boost to maybe giving them some innings in the postseason. We've seen him be very good in the postseason a couple times, specifically against the Dodgers. Back in 2018, he was a guy that was pretty much unhittable and can really be that guy. You know, he can still dial it up to 99, 100, which is very good. And that curve at around 10 to 12 miles per hour slower than that with a nasty break, it's a very good combination for a reliever, but it's not a very good combination for a reliever if you don't know where it's going. So, yeah, I think the main point I'm trying to make out of all this is that the Dodgers are at a point where Joe Kelly is kind of irrelevant. You know, if he does well, then then you'll definitely feel it. You'll definitely see it. And the Dodgers will have one of the best bullpens in baseball, assuming everyone else does what they need to do. But if he's not good, the Dodgers can find a way to not let him pitch the rest of the year or keep him up for mop-up duties. But if that's the case, I think, like I said, they may go to him and see what he wants to do, whether it's DFA, whether it's get traded, or whether it's, you know, go on the IL with an undisclosed injury and let some maybe younger guys fill those roles, or some guys that are a little bit more effective. So I really want to see what we're going to get out of Joe Kelly this year. And if it's not good, the good thing is that we won't have to see him again after this year, more than likely. So yeah, that's all I got on Joe Kelly. And that's also going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. We always appreciate it. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already done so. Make sure to subscribe on all your Apple devices if you haven't already done so. Make sure to tell your friends and family, any Dodger fans in your life, any coworkers, anybody that is a Dodger fan, that there's a Dodger podcast out there for them that they can listen to every day and get the daily dose of Dodgers that they really need. Also leave any ratings or reviews. We got a review, I think, last week. So thank you to whoever left that review. We always appreciate those. I appreciate reading kind words, and I appreciate reading criticism. So whatever you have, I'd prefer if you had criticism to address it to us personally and not bring us down with the rating or review. But hey, you know, you're going to do whatever you want to do, so that's up to you. Ways to get a hold of us or ways to find us. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. You can also find us on email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or voicemail/text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bob Zoo!